a special week in medical circles, palliative care week, and it's important indeed that we're aware of the services that are available. You may never have had it in your family. It may be something that you're very experienced with, or it may be something that will be an experience that you'll have in the years ahead. I want to speak to Joanna O'Hare, who's available to have a chat with us. Morning, Joanna.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Joanna. You're very aware of the need for care like this in your family circle. Tell me your story, please, Joanna.
Yeah, in 2010, my husband, Jared, was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. And obviously, it's a terminal illness with no cure. And we came home, sat in the living room, and just didn't know what was going to happen, what the future was going to be like. And a couple of weeks later, we got a phone call from a specialist nurse, an MND nurse, and she visited us at the house and obviously explained the disease.
I'm just going to interrupt you there a second. You described the nurse with letters. What sort of nurse?
Motor neuron disease nurse.
Oh, so that's those are the letters you used. Okay,
go ahead. We say MND. So she came out to the house and obviously introduced herself and talked about the diagnosis that Jared had. And, you know, it's not a very nice diagnosis. We sort of had Dr. Googled it and we were just heartbroken about what the prospect of his life was going to be like. But chatting to her, obviously she has the expertise. She then, you know, said, you know, there will be a team of people that will help you through this journey. And therefore, we got a social worker who was a palliative care social worker, and she came out to the house, and really, it was just, you felt you weren't on your own. She was there to listen, to explain, you know, what we can have to help Jared's life be that wee bit easier. And it was just invaluable. And from her then, she obviously, you know, was in contact with occupational therapists, physiotherapists, dietitians, speech and language. It's overwhelming at the beginning, all these people that are going to come into your life, but they come into your life to help Jared's life be that wee bit easier. And it just takes the pressure, obviously, from me as wife, because, you know, there's certain things that were happening, that he lost the power of his arms. Okay, I was able to help him dress, give him his dinner, but then, you know, he was getting tired eating, so the dietitian was able to come and explain, you know, maybe high-fat foods that would be good for him, and just sort of helped us along the days that we were sort of didn't know what the next day was going to be holding.
It's obvious that the assistance is there, but is some of this coming from National Health, or is it coming from some of the very high-profile charities that we hopefully support?
Yes, at the beginning, obviously, the specialist nurse and the OTs and the physio, they all came to us in the community, and they were National Health. The social worker, a year or two into Jared's diagnosis, she had suggested that maybe Jared would like to go to day therapies at our local hospice. And he was keen for that because he obviously, it was getting out of the house. It was then also going once a week to speak to people that would be able to help him emotionally and physically. Physio was there, and you know, for passive movements. And obviously the hospice is, you know, obviously we rely on donations from the public, and they are very generous with obviously various fundraising events. So it's a mix between National Health and the hospice that obviously we are able to get the palliative care services and have relied on, and they have made life that wee bit easier.
So people should be very aware of the services provided by hospice, by Marie Curie, by groups like this.
Oh, totally, because you know when something happens to you, or your loved one, you really don't know where to turn. And obviously the social worker was the one that sort of steered us and directed us and helped us along this journey. And obviously the hospice, they are just, you know, you go in there, you know, at the beginning we were very nervous, we were very worried. And, you know, once you go through the door, you just feel at ease and at home because they're there to help you. They're there obviously for Jared when he had concerns about, obviously, you know, his legs were getting weaker. They were able to say, well, look, we'll get in touch with your OT. She should be able to get you a wheelchair and everything. You know, once we mentioned something about our concerns, they were there, like, we'll make the phone call for you. You don't be worrying. And it just took all that pressure and sort of nervousness away from it all. Well, so we, you know, could not be without the team of the palliative care team. It just has helped us enormously.
Well, you've spoken very well on their behalf this morning. Joanna, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Thank you.
Can I just say, Frank, on the palliative care hub, there's other people telling their stories about palliative care and what it means to them. And, you know, if any of your listeners are maybe in a situation where they've been hit with this, you know, maybe a terminal illness, if they go on and listen to the stories, it will help them.
Okay, and where do they go to for that? Where is that
hub? It's the palliativehub.com. And there's just various stories on about people that are obviously living with a terminal illness and what palliative care means to them. And it does help. It does help.
Joanna, thank you very much. Important to highlight the week that is in it. And indeed, it's something that we, I suppose, bring up on the programme from time to time. Just a reminder.